We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
Yeah. Big gamble, really.
Yeah, exactly.
You could say whatever the fuck you want right now.
Right, exactly. So there must have been some.
We could just delete it. This could be like a lost episode.
Yeah.
Where like we promised this episode and then just fucking disappear it.
Right.
Yeah, right. We just like
that would say something in and of itself.
Yeah, totally.
Like, wait a minute.
True. Yeah. Whatever happened to that guy? Like, we don't talk about him. Welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host, Rourke. Rourke, hello and happy Sunday.
Hello. We are going to record with Mr. Nobody shortly. He doesn't know his nickname. I should probably tell him.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah. I can explain it to him. It's like, it sounds more insulting than it is. But so, yeah. So I'm excited, but also terrified. I don't want anything to seem like a gotcha, even though some of the questions are quite funny. For example, I'm fine with people kind of digesting them online before we do it. One of them is like, how many people are you seeing right now?
Yeah.
And so I got to decide, like, are we doing that one?
I don't know. I was planning on only asking ones that are like not about him or you, because there are ones that are also about you. I don't know how far into them you've read.
I saw one that says like, what's your favorite thing about Rourke? Which like, we've been on like two dates. Like
also like, what was your first impression of Rourke is another one.
Oh, I actually don't mind that one. I would love to fucking know.
I think that's another one.
Okay. I'll ask him what he's like down for once he gets here.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
But before we get into all of that.
Yeah.
As you just said before we hit record, I had a wild day yesterday.
You really did.
Like, it was like a 12-hour-long birthday party.
Yeah, that was insane looking.
I was partying for this birthday for 12 hours. And when I am hungover, I get really achy. Like my muscles, specifically the back of my neck. I'm like pointing at it for you. The listeners can't see this. But like the muscles that you use to like nod your head in the back of your neck.
Interesting. I have never heard this before.
I think it's related to my lymph nodes. Like when you're hungover, your lymph nodes are swollen because your body is fighting a toxin.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I'm a pufferfish post-drinking. I look horrendous.
Right. So that wasn't me agreeing that you look horrendous when you've been drinking. Just
but thank you.
Right. As I know. Yes.
Point
I'm
taken.
Aware you look – yeah. No. But so those muscles like really hurt when I am hungover. They ache. And so I have been slathering on my Sunset Lake CBD – Arnica gel or Arnica cream this morning, and it's really helping. And I have never used anything on hangover soreness.
That is brilliant.
It's working. Yeah.
That's a really, really good use. I have been, honestly, you know what? I actually haven't used that yet. And I am going to tonight because I have horrible like tech neck from, you know,
leaning
work,
over, like
hunching.
Yeah. Being hunched.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I get like really bad, again, pointing. This is useless. I get like a bad knot like right here in my kind of like upper. I should definitely use that tonight. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, do it. Do I want to say it's my favorite Sunset Lake product? That's a lot.
Yeah.
Because of how much I like the sleep gummies.
Yeah.
Before the sleep gummies, it was far and away my favorite Sunset Lake product. It is now like a real
a close fight. Second.
Yeah. But I really love it. I use it so liberally.
That's awesome. I'm totally going to try that tonight. Thank you for pointing that out. But yes, as everyone can tell, as per usual, we are obsessed with our Sunset Lake products. I also need to get my coffee ground. I got the coffee this time. Yeah. and I need to get them ground.
Right. They're beans. Yeah.
Anyway.
But yes, we are obsessed with our Sunset Lake. All of their products are third-party tested for quality assurance. They ship directly from their farm in Vermont to your door. You can check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com. Use our coupon code FMH2020 for 20% off all products. They are farmer-owned and Vermont-grown, and we love them.
We sure do.
Should we
go in October when I come to New York?
Hell yeah. Honestly, that would be like a great time to go to Vermont.
Foliage, baby.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, great. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I've been making my way through the fudge really fast.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get the fudge because I specifically told him that I don't like it. So,
yeah.
And then I feel like I should have not done that, though, because last time I gave it to Cindy and she really liked it.
And she expected it this time?
No, I don't think so. But, you know, I did give her, though, the like bud flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are continuing the ad after we ended the ad.
Yeah.
This is how much we actually like this shit. Is that like the ad's over. The like CTA that we were supposed to read is done. And we're just like still shooting the shit about Sunset Lake.
Yeah. Our updates are just Sunset Lake.
Just Sunset Lake related. So we have Mr. Nobody coming on. What's the latest with that like situation with you guys?
So honestly, we have not seen each other recently because we had that really like fun date where we played cornhole and mm-hmm. like, talked the whole time. And yeah. I think I shared the story of him paying me that nice compliment about me being able to pay attention and like focus
yep.
and give quality time. And then I went to Austin. He has had two weddings back to back.
Okay.
And then we were going to go on like a date this past week before this Sunday, like recording. Because
yeah.
I had said like, oh, record, I'll order us dinner, stay and hang post recording.
Yeah.
And that can be like a backup plan. And he then texted me, I think on Tuesday, and was like, you know what, let's just stick to Sunday because yeah. I'm playing so much catch up with work this from being at these like multitude of social stuff. Events that
yeah.
I need to recalibrate. And so I said, totally no problem. So I'm obviously seeing him today and we don't really text in the interim. So actually, not a ton in between. I did get a very interesting, I've never talked about this guy on the podcast because there's no point, but I mean, his nickname is Breezy for sure. It has to be that.
Is it because I'm breezy?
Uh-huh. Because I'm breezy. I am breezy. Men are not breezy.
That was not as breezy as anybody who didn't catch that.
Oh, yes. So yeah. And that's where this came from. So when I decided to leave New York, like I had my like expiration date in New York, I decided I wanted to have like an expiration dating relationship where I was like, I want to casually date and
no-faced.
Exactly. Yeah. I just wanted to like casually date until I left.
Sure.
And I You're said, breezy. I like, hmm?
You're breezy.
I wanted to be breezy. And I literally said, that's my friend Sarah Beth, who you never ran into, but we worked together.
Yeah.
We were on a co-ed football team at the time. And I was like telling her about this and I was like, I want to be breezy with somebody. Like I can do this. And she's like, good fucking luck. You know, this is not going to work out. This never does. And
it's tough.
It is. Not tough for me. This was so fucking insane. So anyway, this guy slid into my DMs the other day. I didn't even know he fucking followed me. And he randomly – so this is a guy that I was trying to like cabin into hoe phase so specifically where I was like – holding him at arm's length. I like absolutely did not like want anything from him. I just want like.
How did you meet him?
I believe that he was on another football team. I think we met at the bar afterwards.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. He was not on our team. He was on a different team, I believe. He ends up so invested.
Yikes.
He invites me to be his plus one at his sister's funeral.
Huh?
Yes.
Funerals don't have plus ones, first of all.
That's something. Fucking insane.
That's not and a plus I was like, one. That is an emotional support system.
Exactly. And I was like, I cannot be this. This is insane.
And we will talk about emotional support systems and grief quite shortly in this update section. And that is a fully inappropriate thing to ask of someone that you are not. Yeah.
Yeah. It was insane. And so he slid in recently. He reacted to a story of mine, and he once he texted me on my birthday a few years ago. This is all years ago that this went down.
Like 10 years ago when you lived here.
Not quite.
Practically.
Yeah, close. I left in 2015, I think.
It's pretty close.
Yeah. So anyway, I took a screenshot.
I was thinking about when we first met was 10 years ago, but I guess you didn't leave.
Yeah. I took a screenshot and sent the DM to Sarah Beth, and she was like, I just remember standing on the football field with you and you were screaming, I just wanted to be Breezy. but yeah, that man could not keep it together.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that would have been a very traumatic time for him. I'm imagining because if he's inviting you, if he was inviting you to his sister's funeral, then she had obviously just passed away.
Correct.
So I certainly know that I was not thinking in a rational, let's do things that make sense way.
Yes.
Immediately in my immediate grief. So major yes. caveats for that, obviously.
I don't think that it had happened before. I think it happened during.
While you guys were already seeing each other.
Yes.
He had already become invested.
Correct.
Yeah. That's the hard – I think actually that's the reason why it is so difficult to ho-phase for an extended period of time, to casually date somebody. I think the reason is not because – I think it takes two very specific people who feel a specific way about each other for it to be successful.
Yeah. I mean it's a friends with benefits question sort of, right?
Sort of. But even – I think it's one step further kind of than a friends with benefits situation because you
it is because we're not friends.
You're not friends and you probably are going on quote unquote dates, right? You're not just meeting up at somebody's place.
Correct. No, we were hanging out.
Right. And you don't have an established friendship prior.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a very difficult thing for anybody to maintain, but I think it's also really rare for two people to be on the exact same page about it and for no one to become – to move to a different page one way or the other.
No, I think that's 100% true. I was listening to a Love Island podcast actually. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about catching feelings in these types of situations.
Yeah.
And I think somebody made a good point, I think, where he said – he said, it is incredibly rare where one person doesn't catch feelings. That almost always one will, and it is very rare that both will, and it is very rare that zero will.
Neither will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I think so
eventually.
Too. Yes, agreed.
I think and it just – that's what I have said about me and ASV. I tried to cabin ASV because he was leaving and we both knew that he was moving to Philly.
Yeah.
And I, as I've said before, I got very lucky that he was on the exact same new page as me.
True.
Of having tried to cabin me as well and ho-phase me as well.
Yeah.
And then both of us were like, oopsies, we both have feelings for each other. That's really fucking lucky.
Yeah, totally. No, very. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a little walk down memory lane for me.
Yeah, that's funny. Funny DM slide from Breezy.
And then Breezy. Any other – any modern updates have been shifted to Patreon for the foreseeable future.
Yes, only related to that. To one particular ongoing situation.
To what's going on modernly.
Yeah, going on currently. Not to say that you won't be updating here.
Correct. And I do have a matchmaker date on Thursday. So
I'll have – Do you know anything – what do you know about him?
Nothing yet. Oh, they send me it the night before.
Oh, okay. You don't have his – I don't even know what I want to call it. It's not an elevator pitch. It's more than that.
It's more than that.
His walk-up song.
Yeah. yeah, no, it's it's an introduction to a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah. It was a game show introduction or something.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is the intro. It is the introduction speech to an achievement award. You're so right. Well, that's exciting. I look forward to hearing about that next week.
Yeah, for sure.
So I had an emotional support human.
You did, indeed.
Need this week. So last week I was talking about how I was feeling a little unsure about, you know, communication with the disco ball and, you know, how I was just kind of like, we're still trying to figure out find our footing.
Mm-hmm.
And like figure out like what feels best for both of us. And I was feeling a little bit unimportant in his like settling into New York. And so I was just kind of like still working through how I was, you know, how I was feeling about that, whatever. Obviously he texted me at the end of last week's episode. And that conversation kind of bled into Monday, where on Monday, if you follow me on Instagram, you saw this in my story already and / I posted a whole video about it. But on Monday, I told him that it was the 4-year anniversary of my dad's death. And I was hoping that he would just be like really supportive in words. Like I was hoping to get, you know, a very heartfelt message back where I felt like he, you know, was there for me in my grief, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I also will take this moment to say that he has historically, and I've told him this, been really wonderful about liking me talking about my dad,
which nice.
Not everybody likes. A lot of people feel uncomfortable when I talk about him, friends and otherwise, because they don't know how to respond. But he really likes it when I talk about him, and I appreciate that about him.
Yeah.
So I was hoping for, expecting that, like just looking for, you know, some like words of affirmation, really. And instead of doing that, well, in addition to doing that, rather, he also offered to come over and like drop everything he was doing and come hang out with me and have dinner and like bring me dinner.
That's lovely.
Yeah. It was, I said this on the Patreon, but that is the first ever time that somebody has done that for me. A romantic person has done that for me. I want to be very,
which
very
is
many, many friends have done similar things for me, but well, not many, many, but you know what I mean. No romantic partner has ever showed up for me like that.
Honestly, wild.
Yeah. Like, and I think what I mean by that specifically is that nobody has, when I didn't ask for it, like, and I didn't even want, that wasn't what I was even expecting or wanting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even on my radar that he could come over.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a blip on my radar that he could come over. Because that isn't something that I have ever experienced before or have ever even asked of someone.
Yeah. So you didn't have like the mental map of what that would be.
Like that feels like too much in my mind, I think, to be like, I really need you to come over right now. I actually did ask ASV to do it once and he didn't. He couldn't, I should say, but like, or he maybe could have, but he didn't.
Yeah.
It's before.
I definitely think it's reasonable to say to somebody, like, especially like a boyfriend, like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm not saying that I couldn't have asked, but it didn't even occur to me to ask. And so he very clearly, we've never had the love languages talk, me and the disco ball. I actually want to have it with him. Because I think that that would be a really illuminating conversation in terms of like what makes me feel important versus what makes him feel important to someone. Mm-hmm. I think I am 99.9 repeating percent sure that quality time is his number one love language.
That checks
out.
And acts
of service is also up there for sure. I think they're probably neck and neck. But quality time is definitely up there. It goes along with why he doesn't look at his phone very often, because when he's doing something with somebody, he's doing that thing with that person. And it's important to him to be present in moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then acts of service, like showing up for someone, cooking dinner for someone. Like when I went to visit him and he like had all this stuff taken care of for me.
Yeah.
Like those are the things that in my estimation make him feel important. And they make me feel important too. But I don't think he's a words of affirmation person.
That
based on
out.
His actions.
And yeah, exactly. From what we've seen, I think that's a good conclusion.
Yeah. And I am. Like, I need words of affirmation. And that's something I've never talked about with him before. So I think, so I went from feeling like pretty unimportant to like the most important person.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I could tell something else that makes me feel really good and loved, and I'm using loved in like a lowercase L way.
Yeah.
Is somebody clearly doing something that they would feel important by. I did not phrase that properly.
I know what you're saying. It's why, you know, those 38 questions to fall in love or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed, one of the questions is say like three qualities that you think are important or something that you see in the other person. And yeah. So it's like, there's a word for that where you are identifying something in them that you inherently like. And so that's very powerful. That's very bonding. So yeah.
Yeah. Like I know that showing up, it's a big deal to him when people show up.
Yes.
And so for him to show up for me is him doing that for me.
Exactly.
And it's also interesting. There are a lot of studies around how people think more highly of other people when they do them. When I will think more highly of you if I do you a favor.
Yeah. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. Then the other way around. It's one of the first things that I – like one of the very first dating coaches – well, he was one of the very first dating coaches that was like popular, but one of the very first dating coaches that I like started like reading stuff about years and years and years ago is Matthew Hussey.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, and I don't agree with everything he says, but like one of the things that he talks about is like a cute way to start talking to a guy in a bar is to ask him to hold something for you for a minute.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
Which I think is a great move. Like, yeah. You know, hey, will you hold my jacket for a second? Like, I need to bring this drink to my friend.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you're like, oh, thanks so much, you know, whatever. And now he's done you a little favor, even though it's mm-hmm. like so small. And psychologically, the human brain is like, oh, I just did this person a favor. I must like them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't have done something nice for them if I didn't like them.
Yep.
And it's a way more powerful – I don't want to say way to get someone to like you, but it's like a yeah. way more powerful thing to have done something nice for someone else than for that person to have done something nice for you in terms of like how you feel about them.
Right.
So I say all of this to say that like that's what happened, right? Like he did something nice for me like without me asking him to. So he came over. I told him not to bring dinner. He was biking over. I'm like, don't bring dinner. That's dumb and also kind of dangerous. Like we get
over. Yeah, that's insane.
Like not dumb. I didn't say dumb, but like yeah. it's not necessary and also kind of dangerous. Like you can just order me dinner when you arrive.
Perfect.
And we can decide together. So we ordered Indian food. He ordered Indian food. We picked it out together. And split a bottle of champagne that my friend Teresa had sent me for my promotion. So we had a split a bottle of Veuve on a Monday night.
Love it.
Which just felt very like decadent and celebratory on a day that I felt shitty. And we ate dinner. We ate dinner at my like dining room table, which I very rarely eat at. So that
yeah, kind of that's special. Rare for you.
Yeah, I think I've eaten there twice, maybe three times now. And watched Jurassic Park.
So sweet.
Yeah, which I had never seen before, the original.
Oh, the original's great.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I was very scared very often. Like jump scare. I was kicking my legs and like jumping around. My cats were like, what is happening? Cats really liked him.
Good sign.
Specifically Rory, which is –
the shyer of the two.
Yeah. I mean Logan likes everyone. It's like not – it's not a flex for Logan to like you. It would be like a major problem if Logan didn't like someone.
Yeah.
It'd be like you need to leave now. Something's really wrong.
Oh, shit.
Because he likes everyone.
Yeah.
If he doesn't like someone, like vibes are really off.
The Logan vibe check is off.
Yeah. Like that would be really bad. But Rory liked him. Rory jumped up on the couch and was watching the movie with us. Which he does not do. Like that's not a thing that Rory does when people are over. So it was just – it was wonderful. And I think the way that I – so I like wasn't sure if I wanted to really talk to him about like communication cadence or not because I was just in a really emotionally vulnerable place and I was like I might cry and like not that that's bad to cry but like I just don't know if I'm emotionally stable enough today to have this conversation.
Yeah, not like necessarily set up for – the environment is not necessarily set up for success.
No. So I decided not to. But then like right as he was leaving, I actually thought of something that I realized. I got to the root of what had made me feel anxious in our communication.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not solely – the communication itself, it is the worry and anxiety that we are not going to continue dating.
Mm.
Or that he's
so is it interest. So then is it like almost a fear of ghosting?
Yeah, or like a fear of or a fear that he's like, I don't think he's actually going to ghost me, but a fear that not hearing from him means that he is losing interest and we're going to stop dating.
Got it. Okay.
Unfounded, fully aware. But like that is what drives the fear. Mm-hmm. And so he's not going to become another person overnight.
True.
Slash at all. He's not going to become somebody who wants to small talk text all day. And I don't need him to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
But I do need that reassurance that the interest is not being lost and that we are continuing to move things forward. And I suggested that something that would help a lot is if we have the next time we're going to see each other more clearly plotted out.
So that's a great solution.
Way, yeah. So like
simple,
that way,
actionable.
It's super simple, super simple, super actionable. And that way, if somebody's having a busy week, it's like, okay, yeah, like we're not talking that much this week, but we're going to see each other on Sunday or whatever. And we're both looking forward to that. And that's great.
That's a very good plan. It reminded me, I was just thinking about it. In therapy, you're supposed to have SMART goals.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of this before?
Yes.
Simple, that they're specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based.
Timely, yeah.
And so I think this is a SMART goal. Good job.
I think so too. Thank you. And so I suggested that to him and said, does that sound like something that we can do? And he said yes. And already it has happened.
Great. And so what's our time bound? What's our time based date?
So I invited him to my friend's birthday party that was yesterday, the 12-hour affair, which in hindsight, and he could not go. He went to the Elton John concert last night, which looked amazing. In hindsight, I am actually kind of glad that he didn't go or that he couldn't go, because I think it would have been, I knew that it was going to be a lot, mm-hmm. like literally every single one of my friends, my volleyball friends in New York. But I think it was a lot in a lot of ways. So I think it was
overwhelming.
I think it would have been overwhelming.
Like,
and so
I know your friends and I would have been like, I gotta go.
Yeah. So I think the friend meeting, there will be a less chaotic opportunity for friend meeting. But when he wasn't sure if he was going to try to make it work based on what time he was going to the concert, timing didn't work out. When he told me that the timing wasn't going to work out, he then followed up with like, here's when I'm free. When are you free? And my next free night is Wednesday. So we are going out on Wednesday.
Love it.
Yeah. So still, we haven't talked about what we're going to do. I've been like thinking of different summer things that I've been wanting to do. Governor's Island, this is going to release after we go, right? Yes. Okay. Just in case, just be like people show up on Governor's Island on Wednesday. Governor's Island just announced that starting in the month of July through, I think, October, they're now open until 10 p.m., where the last ferry used to leave Governor's Island before sunset.
Mm.
So it was not an evening activity.
Right.
And it could be the most amazing evening activity. Like, you could watch the sunset over the Statue of Liberty.
That sounds really cool.
But it has never been open at night, and they just started leaving it open, so the last ferry leaves at 10 p.m. So I thought that would be fun.
Very fun.
Yeah.
I might try and do in LA, there's this thing called Cinespia where you – what?
Movies? Is it about movies?
Yeah. It's a – I don't – it event's the wrong word, but it's an organization. That's the word. It's an organization that does movie screenings at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and you bring like a picnic, and it's like this big open lawn, and it's very, very fun. And I think that would be a fun date. I want to get that going.
Yeah, I was actually looking at outdoor. So the things on my mind were like Governor's Island, outdoor movie nights, which I didn't come across any that are on Wednesday. And then I want to do a Red Hook day, like take the ferry to Red Hook and do Brooklyn Winery and like the stuff in Red Hook. Brooklyn Winery is closed on Wednesday, so that was out. And then I also really want to go to a minor league baseball game with someone, either the Brooklyn Cyclones in Coney Island or the Staten Island Fairy Hawks.
That sounds fun. Oh yeah, I like a Dodgers game date.
Yeah. So I like minor league baseball games. I think they're super fun. And both of those are really fun too, because with the Staten Island, you can like take the ferry and that's cool. Obviously Coney Island is cool, but both of those teams are away this week.
Tough break. So
Governor's Island it is.
Well, maybe. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Unless he has something he really wants to do.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the update with him. I'm feeling good about it. The other thing that happened on, your eyes just went really wide. It's not bad.
Oh, okay.
You already know this.
Oh, great.
The other thing that I wanted to update on is that we had a like very mini like acknowledgement that we are both – that we are like at a similar level of investment, I think, in where we're at with each other conversation. Is – so we were – we're sitting on the couch. I don't really remember what we were talking about. We sat on the couch for like 2 hours just talking before the food got there. And I'm trying to remember how this even came up. It was because he was telling me how he went to Swingers, which is the place that I went on the date with the journalist, and I had told him about it. Obviously I didn't mention that it was a date, but I had told him that he would really like this place. And so funnily enough, he had a work event there last week when like he had all those work events when he was busy. He had a work event at Swingers. And so he was telling me about it, and then he said, actually, funny story. One of my colleagues who I think she was – I don't think she lives here. I think she was like in town. He hadn't seen her in a while, something like that. He said like, oh, she asked if I was dating anyone. And I said, actually, I am. And I showed her your Hinge profile. And then I like interjected and was like, we have several pictures together. You don't need to show people my Hinge profile. And he was like, oh, well, you know, I told her we met on Hinge. So she asked to see it, whatever. So he showed it to her. And apparently she looked at it and goes, wait a minute. Wait.
Bound to happen.
Her head basically exploded. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, does she follow me? Like, does she know who I am? And he was like, uh-huh. So I don't know if she actively follows me or listens to the pod or like any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like to know, you know, to have heard disco ball stories or anything like that. I'm not exactly sure the depth of her recognition.
Yeah.
But she definitely knew who I was.
That's so funny.
My profile. Obviously, he knows all about.
Yeah. This so platform. It's not. Yeah.
Not a surprise in any way. He thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
But so that part is funny and also made me feel really good that he was telling me this story about how somebody had asked, are you dating anyone? And he said, yes, I am. Here she is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I am. And it's Allie. And like, that's where I'm at with him. Like the exact same place I'm at with him, where when someone says, are you dating anyone? I say, yep, insert his name here. Here's his picture.
Yeah.
You know, like that I am not dating anybody else right now, but we're not exclusive yet, obviously.
Right.
But like that, he is that person for me too. And so that felt really good. And so then I felt very safe in the next little part of the conversation. So I like made some joke about how I was like, oh, like somebody knows what you look like, you know, like hopefully she doesn't put out, you know, posters or something. And
wanted he, disco ball.
Yeah. Right. And he made a reference to the person who came up to us when we were in DC.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, well, somebody already knew like that, you know, that woman.
Cover's been blown.
Yeah. Like my cover was blown a long time
ago. He's been compromised. Send him back to Mother Russia. He's failed his mission.
And so then I said, I was like, actually like several people have DM'd me that they've seen us out.
Oh, funny.
Which I had never mentioned to him before just because it's not that big of a deal, but yeah. I was like, yeah, actually like 5 or 6 people know what you look like because they've seen us on dates. To which he said, well, how do they know it's disco ball? How do they know it's not lots of dogs here or too sleepy? Those are the 2 nicknames he used. And I was like, well, first of all, like, those are Rourke's people. Too Sleepy is not even –
Too Sleepy is – That's not even your friend. Person. Yeah, that's not even one of ours. It just has become – we've fucking appropriated that joke.
Yes, I didn't even get into that piece of it.
Yeah,
I just was like, those are like first of all, those are Rourke's people.
Yeah.
Those are Rourke's nicknames. And he was like, oh, I know. I just like couldn't think of any other ones. And then I said, but also, I don't have any other nicknames right now.
Ooh, ooh.
And he was surprised. He said, like, really? Or something like that. And I said, like, no, I like the disco ball.
And what did he say to that?
He kissed me and we were like quiet for a second. Okay. And then we started talking about something else.
Okay. And how do you like, how do you interpret that?
I thought what I said to him was a reciprocation of what he had said to me.
Okay.
In terms of like, I wanted to validate to him that like, I am on the same page as he is in the story that he had just told to me. So that was that. I mean, that's like pretty much, that is my only dating update. He's the only person I'm dating. And I actually talked to my matchmaker about it this week too.
Oh, good point. Shoot. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, I've been on pause. I paused.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A while back. Yeah. I paused whenever I broke up with the journalist, when I told her, because the journalist is, I met through her.
Yep.
So like whenever I told her, you know, I'm going to end things with him. And in addition to that, that was when I said, you know, I don't think it makes sense for me to meet any new matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a check-in with her this week just to like reconfirm that that's true. Still true. So I'm still on pause.
That's great. My friend's husband really liked the journalist, by the way. He was disappointed.
Everybody liked the journalist. I mean, I did too.
It was very funny.
In a vacuum, you know?
Yeah, totally.
He had a lot of amazing qualities. Besides the whole, you know, not into physical touch thing.
Indeed. Tough. Tough, tough, tough.
Yeah, real tough. So yeah, that was that. And that's pretty much it. I announced on the Patreon, which will have already been on my Instagram, but it'll still be there today if you didn't see that, if you didn't see it, that I'm going to do a trip next year. And I'm inviting followers to come with me through this company called Trova Trip. And I'm super fucking excited.
That's so fun. Have so much fun.
I hope we will. I think we will. But so I have a survey that's up. Probably is still up. Hopefully it is. Where people can actually like help me decide where to go.
Amazing. So yeah. Contribute to the group decision.
Contribute and come hang out somewhere cool with me. Pick Greece. Anyway.
I should just like drop that as a little sounder in various points. Pick Greece.
Pick Greece.
Pick Greece.
I really want to go to Greece. I really want to go to Greece. But you know, I will listen to what the group wants as well, in addition to what I want.
Yeah. Before we bring on Mr. Nobody.
Yes.
Let's talk about our one other podcast sponsor, Modern Fertility, which I feel like whenever they have a spot with us, it's funny timing. This past week, two of our very good friends both did their egg freezing.
Yes, they both had their retrievals this week.
Yeah.
My friend and your friend. And it's just so well timed with our sponsorship from Modern Fertility, who we've talked about before. One of the things that I think is so unfortunate about our healthcare system is that we don't, as a regular course of business, find out much about our fertility health and, you know, what everything means. And it's something that I think is so, so important to understand about your body and about where you're at. And Modern Fertility makes that so easy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of my friends now are either are getting involved in egg freezing or having a child with their husband, and they're like, their minds are being blown about this stuff. And it's because we're so in the dark about it leading up to the big life moment. So do this now when it is inexpensive and when you have an FMH discount code.
Yes, because traditional testing can cost over $1,000.
Yeah.
But Modern Fertility gets you that same information at a fraction of the price. Right now, they're offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/FMH, which means that your test will cost $179 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
Exactly. And so all you have to do to get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/FMH, and there's no discount code, it's just that web address, modernfertility.com/FMH.
Yes, you'll get so much insight, and I'm just really excited that this exists.
Yeah, me too.
So, Erica, you know I love a fancy drink, and something that's been really helping me to do that without consuming more alcohol than I want to is Reese's Zero Proof Craft Mocktails. They're 0% alcohol, made with real fruit, sweetened with agave, and honestly taste just like your favorite cocktails, but without the alcohol.
I like to have a few things in my fridge that give me a little bit of flavor. And their flavors are amazing. They have the lime, margarita, grapefruit paloma, ginger lime, mule, watermelon mojito. One of those has to sound good to you. I think they're all great.
My personal favorite is the watermelon mojito. That one is so good. I recently had a few people over and pulled them out of my fridge. They had never tried them before. They're now hooked. They've ordered Recess mocktails. We're spreading the word.
I'm not a day drinker, but I want to go for the hang. And it's the perfect thing to bring to those scenarios that you're like, I'm here, I'm having fun, I got something in my hand. But if you're not a day drinker like me, then a Recess mocktail might be perfect for you.
You can get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/FMH so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
So something that I have started incorporating into my daily routine is our new sponsor, Happy Mammoth, and specifically taking their Hormone Harmony. It is plant-based, it is nature-inspired, and it is herbal. I'm a little conscious, so I want to make sure I know what am I putting in my body. I want to be taking the right type of things. They have got it down at Happy Mammoth.
Yeah, they're really dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means only using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They really make no compromise when it comes to quality. I have really been appreciating it for when I'm feeling like a little off or down around that time of the month. Because I have an IUD, I don't get a period. So it often surprises me when I'm at that time of the month. And this has really helped level me out in those times.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to manage PMS, their estro control specifically. It also is helpful if you're going through menopause or premenopause as well.
So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use our code FMH at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code FMH for 15% off today.
So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
That's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
All right. So on that note, I'm excited for us to welcome Mr. Nobody. Let's hop to him. We are back with Mr. Nobody, who has found out his nickname 45 seconds ago.
Hello. Yes. This is new information. I was very upfront about the podcast, not about the nickname.
So how are you feeling, Mr. Nobody?
Hi, everyone. I'm feeling pretty good. Would you like me to just say a little bit about myself?
Yeah. What do you want to tell the people about yourself?
That I am originally from the Midwest and that I've been living in Los Angeles for about 10 years. Currently, I am back in school for clinical psychology.
Perfect. We love it.
Yeah.
This is a major first for us. I'm sure Rourke has mentioned to you. We've done one installment of an Ask a 30-something Man, but it was Rourke's friend Matt. Like, we've never had anybody on the pod that either of us are romantically involved with in any way. So this is exciting.
Cool. I'm excited too.
This is the first.
I've never done dating.
I'm not okay. Are you okay?
I've never done a dating podcast, so we'll see how this goes.
Here we are. We're doing it live. Okay, so as I mentioned, we're going to start off with Mythbusters. So this week's Mythbuster is nice guys finish last.
Do you want us to start by guessing the split?
Yes. So we asked our listeners, basically, like, do you think nice guys finish last, myth or not a myth? What do we think they said? What's the split?
I think it's a 50-50 split.
Damn it. I was going to say that.
Was that what you guys are on the same page?
I was going to say that because like we've now done a couple of these where these are really – people really find these on the line. And so I unfortunately agree with 50-50.
You unfortunately agree?
I'll say 49 myth, 51 not a myth.
Okay. So you think it's hedging towards not a myth. And Mr. Nobody, you think it's like straight up 50-50.
Yeah. I think it's 50-50.
So it is pretty damn close to 50-50. So you're basically both correct, but it hedges myth.
Okay.
It hedges. So it's 52 myth, 48 not a myth.
That makes sense.
And I think that's fair.
Based on the answers that people gave, I don't think that any – I actually think that most people think that this is a myth. This is how I feel about it. I think this is a myth, but I think that the people who are saying this are not nice guys.
Oh, yes. I see that. Have you ever been on subreddit Nice Guys?
No, but that sounds terrifying.
It's amazing. And like it's wild. It's exactly what you think it is. And it's that. It's that.
Yeah. Like I think that like anyone who says nice guys finish last, like I don't think any nice person would ever finish last.
Yeah.
Like that's nice people are not finishing last, but like the people who say this are.
Right.
Yes.
And I also think it's more, it seems like from a male perspective, there might be more males who think nice guys finish last than females. You know, I feel like I don't ever, it hasn't been my experience that I've talked to a lot of women who are like, oh yeah, I don't like nice guys. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like, well, of course you would like a nice guy, but guys somehow think that that women don't want nice guys for some reason. So I feel like there's a discrepancy there as well.
But isn't this sort of the premise of F-Boy Island, right? That there is something really attractive about an F-Boy and that nice guys are in some way, like, that's why I think this is, Ali and I like recorded our updates earlier and Matthew Hussey came up, who's like a dating coach and like advice giver or whatever. And one thing that he has always said, I think, is that women want nice guys with an edge, which I think is very true.
And a few people clarified that like, there's a difference between a nice guy and a doormat. Like being nice doesn't mean that you have no boundaries.
That's very true.
No, you can be like a super nice badass.
Absolutely. I think
it's the dream.
I think it's probably exactly. That question may just be not nuanced enough to really reflect, you know, the spectrum of what...
Shocking our Instagram poll.
Do you think it's binary... This binary Instagram poll is not nuanced enough to discuss the human condition. I don't understand.
But it is a funny, I do like that it kind of came down to a split. That does say a lot about, I feel like, what people perceive to be the truth and what they probably believe themselves.
Yeah. And I also think that it is a crutch that a lot of men will say when they are not actually a nice guy. But they're just upset that someone doesn't like them.
Yeah.
Like whenever I've heard a guy say, and these have never, ever one time been a person that I would consider a nice guy. Whenever I've heard a guy say nice guys finish last, it has been attached to this woman who didn't like me and like, what the fuck, because I did XYZ thing.
Mm-hmm.
And no, like there are plenty of nice people that I don't want to date.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they're nice.
Right.
That's not
liking
reason.
Somebody is not transactional. It's not like you do this, therefore I like you. You are not providing goods and services for money. Like that's not how this works.
No. So, but I think that is where this comes from is like in like, I'm sure that there are a lot of like pickup artist types in that nice guy subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
And pickup artistry is certainly transactional.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
So yeah.
Okay, so this one I feel like is myth busted.
I think myth busted.
Okay, confirmed.
Great. For sure.
Tap, tap, tap. Case ended.
Done. Gavel, not a crime.
I have my gavel in my desk, actually.
Bring it out.
Perfect. Gavel, not a crime.
Yeah.
I'm also giggling because, so we're going to transition into listener questions. The very first listener question begins, dating a really nice guy right now.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Which is just funny that it started that way. But Rourke, I'm going to throw this to you on where you want. That question is not necessarily one that I need to ask. I just thought it was funny that it started that way. But Rourke, where do you want to start with Mr. Nobody and our listener questions?
I mean, I think some like good ones are kind of like,
I have like a not dating related one. That's just about the situation.
Oh, sure. Go for it.
So what were your first thoughts when Rourke pitched this idea to you of you joining the podcast?
Great question.
To be honest, I was flattered that she would ask me to join. Having not really known much about the podcast, mm-hmm. other than just her telling me a little bit about it. And also having not, I don't think I've ever really listened to this type of podcast either myself, even though I would say I'm a fairly avid podcast listener. But I don't think I've ever come across a dating podcast. So, yeah, I thought this could be a really fun new experience and was just kind of flattered that Rourke would ask me to come on having perhaps not known that much about me.
Yeah. Big gamble, really.
Yeah, exactly.
You could say whatever the fuck you want right now.
Right, exactly. So there must have been some
sense. We could just delete it. This could be like a lost episode.
Yeah.
Where like we promised this episode and then just fucking disappear it.
Right.
Yeah, right? We just like
that would say something in and of itself.
Yeah, totally.
Like, wait a minute.
True, yeah. Whatever happened to that guy? Like, we don't talk about him.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, no, but I thought I was like, oh, this is cool. She trusts me enough to ask me to come on to this. And, you know, I perceive this to be, you know, a passion project of you two. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, my thought process was, and I think I said this on the podcast and I think I might've said it to you, is that obviously I think your background and like the way you and I converse, I think makes you such a good fit for this. And then I just like felt very like safe to do so, 'cause I felt like you would be down. So here we are.
Here we are.
So here we are.
Indeed. I shouldn't look at you while I talk to you. Okay. You said something in there though, that I actually want to pick up on, which is that you have not come across a dating podcast. Wild. And I want to talk about how gender skewed dating podcasts are.
Yeah.
And I think women are much more help seeking in this space than men are. Why do you think that is?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. You're the representative. You are representing all men for this hour.
Yeah. That is the premise upon which this series is built, that you now represent all men and they must all subscribe to your opinions going forward.
Wow, yeah, that's a huge responsibility. Sorry to all the men out there beforehand for anything that's about to come
out.
It's
okay. There are very few listening.
Yeah, they're literally like five or six.
Well, sorry for all the women as well who think that my opinion is representative of all men. You know what? That's a good question. I now that I'm reflecting on podcasts that I have come across some podcasts that are aimed at teaching men or young men how to, I think, just be better men, quote unquote, and that there's a sort of romantic or social aspect involved in that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's pickup artistry. I would say it's more like almost lifestyle coaching for men type of podcast. So I have come across those, but not anything specifically saying, you know, hey, maybe this is how you should be, or this is how you can be better with women. Although I'm sure they're out there.
Have to be.
It might just be, definitely, you know, the podcast that I'm listening to and whatever algorithms are running and, you know, on my media. But to answer your question, I wonder if there's, you know, a lot of social stigma involved here as well and at play in terms of, I'm sure that there are just as many men, if not more men, that are interested in how, in dating and sort of that realm, how they might improve in dating, you know, what the landscape looks like. However, they're probably less likely, my guess would be, to be open about that and to admit that. Even in my personal experience, just with male friends that I've had over the years or even acquaintances, it seems rare that if somebody is having dating issues that they'd be super forthright about it, even though they may want to actually solicit somebody's opinion or some help on it. So I can't speak on behalf of women, but my perception has always been that they seem to be able to be more open with each other about struggles within that landscape and or triumphs. And, you know, maybe because that conversation seems to be more accepted or just maybe normalized within women, like that if a woman sees like a dating podcast, you know, it's like, okay, there's less shame for me if I, you know, decide that I want to listen to this or if I want to recommend this to a friend, where it's like I couldn't really see too many male friends of mine saying, hey
bro,
I found
pick
this,
up this podcast.
Yeah. I found this dating podcast geared at guys, like, you should check this out, you know?
Yeah. You might not know the answer to this, but Is there a significant gender skew in who goes to therapy? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know the research on that, but just if I had to guess, I would say it's definitely skewed female.
Yeah. That's what I was just
and I feel in pretty a similar confident vein. About it. I feel right? pretty like confident about that. I just don't know what the exact percentage is. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it's skewed female.
And I think that's very true what you said about just the way that guys talk with each other or don't and the things about which they talk or don't versus women. And like just what when I've talked to boyfriends about like what I'm talking about in the group chat, they're like, you're talking about what in the group chat? Like there's a lot of shit that goes down in the in female group chats that like I think would never happen in a group of guy friends.
Yeah, I think in general, it's just the kind of stereotype of being more closed off and more unaware of your emotional and internal experience as a male, you know, and kind of how that seems to be perpetuated in society. And it's just a weakness, right? So I think it's changing for sure. You know, definitely with the younger generations and stuff, I've seen it change in the landscape of even work that I've been doing at a college counseling center recently. So it's like working with young adults in that age group. I'm seeing absolutely shifts
in
sort of, how many more young sort of male college students are coming into therapy and are talking about relationships and or other things of that nature. Whereas, you know, I remember back when I was in college, I don't recall any of my male friends ever talking about that with each other.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Go young people.
Seriously. Yeah. Okay, this is a classic. Can men and women really be friends? I know what your answer is going to be.
I'm absolutely biased, and I think the answer is yes.
Ask him how many exes he's friends with.
Mr. Nobody, how many exes are you friends with?
All of them.
Or you're still counting in your head.
No, because I think...
You're still going.
Because you're asking the question, I think I should be... very specific about it, which is that I am not on bad terms with any of them. However, actual close friendships,
sure,
I would say two of them. Yeah. But I'm on good terms with pretty much all of them. And it's not, and when I say all of them, it's we're talking about six people here. But but I am really close with a couple of them. I was in one of their weddings. I'm going
You were in an ex's wedding.
And I'm going to be in another.
This has happened twice?
I should say, okay, so yeah, this is kind of like, if we really were to be honest, I'm going to be in another wedding actually in 2 weeks of a woman that I dated, but very briefly. Like we only dated for a few months.
Do you want to be in my future wedding?
Yes.
How are you?
We did actually.
Clarifying question. Are you in the bridal party or are you a groomsman? And if the latter, how are you ingratiating yourself with their new person?
Okay. So let me try to back up so we don't confuse any listeners. So
God forbid.
Great. Yeah.
So one of my best friends who I went to college with, undergrad with, lives on the East Coast currently. I was sort of an honorary participant in her wedding. Like I was not in her bridal party, but I was at the rehearsal dinner. I was sort of up there. Like I was essentially an honorary member of her bridal party.
Okay.
Her and I have been close friends pretty much ever since we, you know, there might've been a year in there where we kind of were in kind of a repair state, you know, after we had dated, but we've been close friends ever since, even though we live on separate coasts.
That's nice.
In 2 weeks, I am in the bridal party of a woman that I dated back in 2016. We actually met on a dating app. We dated for a couple months, so not very long.
Okay.
And then at that point, she actually met her now or her future husband.
Her fiance, yeah.
Yes, her fiance. And in fact, I am close with him as well. But, you know, she asked me to be in her bridal party.
Wow.
Yeah,
Rourke is upset.
Yeah. No, I'm not upset. It's just
about him.
I wanted to bring this up because I knew we had to talk about it.
Yeah, I know that you're upset about the concept as conceptually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then there are a few other.
And you know
exes
what? We talked about this. I have like very triggering experiences with exes, which we've had to find out this story.
Well, this is actually it is a very interesting topic that we could dive pretty deep in. My sister, in fact, actually gave me a call a couple weeks ago and was in some level of distress about the fact that her new partner seemed to be very close with one of his exes. And she was like, well, I wanted to get your take because I know that you're very close with one of your exes at least.
I'll bleep his name.
We're going to need to bleep your name out now.
Okay, sorry.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's
totally fine.
It's your funeral.
And, and she was just like, you know, I don't know how to think about this because this has not been my personal experience. So I just want to pick your brain maybe you could offer me some perspective on maybe I'm just freaking out for no reason type of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, in my personal experience, I think that,
oh wait, can I ask a follow-up question before
sure.
you? What would have told you, like what would indicate to you, oh, that's a healthy good terms friendship with an ex or like, oh, that one gives me pause. Like what would be those qualities?
Yeah, that's actually hard to say. I don't know that I've ever stopped to think about delineating that specifically. I think it's more paying attention to how the relationship evolves and if there are proper boundaries there, you know. And I think it's difficult to use whoever they may be dating at any given time as a barometer. I think that's hard because sometimes there's been times in the past where me and I'll just reference this other person as like East Coast friend.
Sure.
My East Coast friend, the two of us have dated many people over the years. And there have been some people that were not very cool with our friendship. But I don't actually think that was because of our friendship. I think it was more reflective of their own sort of insecurities and thoughts and feelings about it.
Totally.
As far as I'm concerned, our friendship, once we transitioned, so we were friends first before we started dating, and then we started dating, and then we kind of got back to being friends.
I think that's very
later.
Different.
That's an important fact, I think.
That might be important. So when we transitioned back into being friends after dating, I think our friendship from there on, although it's evolved, has always been healthy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been concern of like breaching of boundaries or, gray areas or the two of us being on different pages. So it was almost just a feeling thing, you know, it's kind of an instinct thing. Things weren't happening that were kind of raising flags, you know, that then you would think, oh, wait a minute, you know. And to be honest, none of our other friends would ever give us that type of feedback either. I think if you have friends that are giving you feedback, then maybe you also listen to that. But as far as we know, the only people that ever took issue with it would have been like her partner. So, yeah.
So yes, is the answer. Men and women can be friends. Sorry. Or exes can be friends.
Yeah. To go back to that, I think they absolutely can. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And I have many male friends, but I am not good friends with any of my exes, but not because they're exes. Like I don't have a hard line on that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never started dating someone who was a friend first though. Like I've really only dated people where I met them in a fully dating context, mostly on mm-hmm. dating apps, but even the couple that I met quote unquote in the wild, they were only a romantic prospect from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was like, I don't really need another friend that I used to date.
Hmm. Yeah. And I'll say this, I think that sometimes, you know, you may date people who over the course of time, you may find that actually you're more friends than you are romantic partners.
For sure.
And so in that type of situation, the transition to being friends is actually not that difficult and doesn't seem like a jump. It actually feels more organic, to be honest.
I actually think that that's how the disco ball feels about his most recent long-term ex, the guy that I'm dating, we call him the disco ball.
Okay.
And he was in a multi-year relationship that ended over a year and a half, I think even 2 years ago at this point. They share a dog together. The way that they are still friends. They're in like a friend group together. In fact, like his best guy friend is someone that he met through her.
Mm-hmm.
and they're still in this friend group, but the way he describes it sort of like at the end of their relationship is they were like roommates more so than anything else. And so he was like, it was more so just calling it what it is and saying like, it doesn't make sense for us to say we're dating anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm oversimplifying it, but
absolutely.
I get what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. That was similar with my most recent ex and I. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so,
I have a question that I like a lot. What assumptions about dating did you have in your 20s that you no longer believe?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. I don't think I've ever thought about this before.
Take your time too. Like I said,
I got asked this. Yeah, take your time. I actually got asked this recently and it asked me anything. It might've been the same person. I don't know. And she's just like pulling the crowd as often as she can about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that really comes to mind is that I think when I was younger, there was always an assumption that there was almost like always an assumption that there needed to be expectations to dating, you know, that, you know, it was like you have to, and maybe this was just more like my personal, you know, like just feelings about it. But I felt that when I was younger and I was dating, I always felt like I had to date with some goal in mind, you know, that I couldn't allow myself really to just show up, to be present, to kind of just attempt to be authentic, attempt to see what dynamic could develop, whether it's a friendship, whether it's anything else. I feel like I didn't allow for a lot of that. It seemed like I was like either in a dating mindset or I was like not. You know, it seemed more binary.
Like so really binary, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel, and that's probably just, again, just not having an understanding of, you know, human relations and dynamics that well, and also maybe not knowing myself very well, you know, and not being courageous enough to maybe just say, hey, well, you don't need to put all that pressure, you know, on yourself, or you don't need to put that pressure onto dating, or other people also don't need you to step into dating with that type of mindset, you know, that there are other ways that you can go about dating and still foster meaningful relationships. And I think that was just something I didn't understand when I was younger and I was dating.
Do you think that part of it also is like not having the language to explain that to somebody in a way that you're then being fair to them too?
Absolutely. I was terrible at communicating, I think, when I was younger. Yeah, to be honest.
Weren't we all?
I think I tried really hard. Yeah. It wasn't that I shied away from it, but it was more that, you know, oftentimes I lacked, I think, the awareness, you know? So even if I felt that I could say something, I didn't know what to say. You know, or I didn't really know what the truth was. So yeah, I definitely think communication was foundational.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. That's something. Good brand answer. Thank you.
Well, that's something that I think is a major shift for me. And this is how I answered this question when I got it in my AMA, like something that has shifted majorly for me is I had this assumption that I would be too much for someone if I showed up authentically with what I needed from people. And that like in order for someone to like me, in order for someone to want to date me, that I needed to be what they needed and not have us meet each other someplace.
Right.
And then in reality, like that is super unattractive. Also, if someone is just like doing whatever they need to do to be what you need, like that's not what anybody wants.
Also, then God forbid you reveal your true self and that person is like, what the fuck? Who are you?
Well, exactly. Right. Exactly. And that actually happened to me in a few of my early relationships where I wasn't intentionally misleading anyone, but like I was effectively pretending to be much more go with the flow and like quote unquote chill girl than I really am.
Yeah.
And like no knock on anybody who really is go with the flow and like doesn't give a shit about stuff, but like that is not who I am. And it can't be who I am for very long. And so then when we would like really start dating and then I would start to feel safer to express things that bothered me or express, you know, things that made me anxious. It's like, well, wait a minute, this is not the same person that I started dating. But then the story that I'm telling myself is, oh, well, he doesn't like the real me. It's like, well, he never got the chance to meet the real you.
Yeah.
In the first place. This is also on you, girl.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah. Oh, this is just like a cute, silly one. Do men give nicknames / code names to the women they date?
Sometimes.
Oh, really?
Sometimes. I like that.
Sometimes.
I like the pause and then sometimes.
I'd say most of the time, you know, when you're talking with your friends, no, I mean, excuse me, there's no reason to be doing that. But however, sometimes when it's usually more in a joking manner when you perceive some sort of pattern with, you know, some girl that one of your friends is dating, you might be like, oh, that chick, you know, like she, you know, let me try to think of actually a personal example. So one of my friends, who's also single and just kind of been sort of generally dating, was seeing a girl for a while who, was pretty much, the opposite of every other girl that he was dating in terms of the way that she would kind of approach things, the way that she would behave, the things that she would say. She was very much kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, chaotic and a loose cannon in many ways, unpredictable. And so, you know, sometimes when we were talking about her, you know, we would just use terms to describe her, like, you know, chaos, for example.
Like, how's,
you know,
chaos, it's like, doing,
oh,
today?
That's your, yeah, exactly. And we would all know who we're talking about because there's only one girl that he's currently seeing that, you know, is like that. So sometimes it would just be something funny like that, but
yeah,
you know, never for like any specific purpose. Usually we just keep it simple.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever heard, like, I have a lot of guy friends, many of whom are single or were single, and I've talked about their dating lives. I don't think I've ever heard one of them use a nickname.
Yeah.
Like consistently, like they might say like, oh, you know, that girl from karaoke, or like that, you know, when they know,
it's,
I don't
almost
know
a descriptor,
name.
Not a nickname.
It's a descriptor, not a nickname. Like they wouldn't use that same nickname over and over again in our conversations.
Yeah.
But that does remind me, I will say what we do often though is, you know, if we can't remember the names, you know, because there are different girls that
so
may, yeah. Or well, there may be a girl that, let's say, they only see a couple times. And then they go on a date with another girl and you're still thinking in your head that it's the first girl. You know what I mean? So
you get
confused. Sometimes you just say by, you know, one, like a single descriptor, you know, like I might say to my friends, oh yeah, the lawyer, you know, if I'm referring to Rourke, you know, if I don't think that they know who I'm talking about, if I were to say her name.
Right.
So we do use those types of terms, but I don't think those are nicknames really. Yeah. They're more descriptors. Yeah.
Yeah. I never, before finding Mr. Hyde, I never really used nicknames with my friends. Like the only reason that I use them is because of this account and this platform.
Mm.
I never did before.
I like a nickname.
But I don't dislike
them.
I
do.
And it's funny because I actually now make a concerted effort to use their real names with my friends.
Uh-huh.
Like the guys that I have nicknames for on the pod, like I will make a concerted effort. Like I want, like the disco ball, like,
I'm sorry. I totally say disco on text to you. I should use his name.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Okay.
But like, I want my friends, let's say his name was John. It's not. But like, I want my friends to, who will maybe eventually meet him, to like know him as John and not as Disco Ball. So like, I make a concerted effort when I talk to my friends about him to say John, because like, that's how I want them to know him. I don't want them to know him as this like anonymized nickname
the
that I have
version
on my dating platform. Yeah, like I want them to know him as John, the guy that I'm dating and really like.
Yeah.
That might be a good barometer actually both ways for sort of importance or significance. You know, if your friend starts using names, the name of the girl more often, for example, then it's like, okay, maybe he feels a bit differently rather than just keep calling him, oh, you know,
the
like
girl
that
I'm seeing.
Designer.
This is exactly why I like nicknames, because it keeps me from developing feelings.
Okay. Do you refer to me as Mr. Nobody to your friends?
No, I definitely don't.
But you should, though. That's cool.
You're like, that's very funny.
Now that I know the background behind that and I'm totally signed on with the Fast Furious franchise, like, that's actually cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense, work for you and I to use nicknames, though, because like I wouldn't want you to accidentally slip up and say his name and then have to edit it. You know what I mean? Like, it
exactly.
makes sense.
Like,
that
it's good for us to be in good way. Practice.
Yes, exactly.
It's like good podcast hygiene.
It's good podcast hygiene. Yeah, we haven't had to bleep. Well, we will this time, but we haven't had to bleep something from us in a while. So we're
yeah,
doing well.
We've been good.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's just my first name. There's a lot of.
True. I mean,
my
we can.
First
it's totally
out
up
there.
To you. Yeah. It's totally up to you.
It's completely
it doesn't bother
up to
me.
You.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. You don't have to edit out.
Okay. I have another one. Unless you want to go.
Yeah.
On,
no, like. You go.
So something else that I thought is a very good question that I would like to, like, kind of just know a guy's perspective on is like, what do you look for when you're deciding about whether or not you want to go on a second date? Like, what tells you like that was a good first date? I would like to see that person again.
I liked this one too.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, a big part of connection is whether or not I feel like we were able to have good conversation. So, you know,
great bar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think just standard, right, for everyone. But, yeah, if I felt that we were able to dive into things, you know, we don't have to have similar interests per se. I think that maybe some people feel that you do. I don't necessarily feel that you have to, but I feel that you have to be able to talk about things that you are interested in, but you also have to be able to talk about or at least engage with or be curious about things that you're not interested in per se. And so it really, yeah, it's just like, how deep can you go as a conversationalist? And that's important for me. If I feel that it's like pulling teeth, trying to just keep a conversation going, or no questions are being asked, or it's all one-sided or things like that, that usually will deter me more. If I feel like there's at least effort, mutual interest in, you know, asking and finding and learning more about each other's lives, usually that's good. Chemistry, of course. If you are able to end the date with a kiss or you have some sort of sense of chemistry throughout the date, whether it's just, you know, some, whether they're nonverbal, whether they're physical, maybe there's like a little touch here or there, or even in the way maybe you hug or the way that you look at somebody. If there's a sense of some type of chemistry, I mean, usually that's a good sign. If there's absolutely no chemistry, then probably wouldn't go on a second date. Or,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely no is tough.
Yeah, absolutely none is tough.
Absolutely none
is
tough.
But if it's like a good conversation and you're like, there might be, would you?
I would probably, and again, this is all I think under, it would be under certain circumstances. I think, you know, for example, if the other person is looking for something very specific and they are on some sort of timeline, assumingly, or have some sense of urgency, then I might not, you know, if I'm on the fence, I might just be honest about that, you know?
Yeah. Like if it feels like your goals don't align.
Exactly. I could go on a second date with this woman, but like, it's not a fuck yes. And this woman seems like she doesn't have time for anything other than fuck yes answers, you know? And so it's like,
yeah,
in that instant, I might decide, okay, you know, probably best not to. But if it seems like the vibe is good, if it seems like there is definitely more to explore, would like to spend more time, there's no rush, then I think for me, yeah, I'm more likely to be like, okay, yeah, let's hang out again. And also if they're open to something other than a very specific outcome, because I can, going back to sort of some of the things that we had talked about already.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can talk about like what you texted me.
Yeah, like if there's a possibility, like some people are not open to any other type of connection other than we're about to hopefully be going into a serious relationship and that's going to lead to X, Y, and Z or not. And yeah, in that case, you know, because the parameters are more strict, then yeah, that's, I'm definitely going to consider that more critically than if, you know, someone were sort of to be open and say, I'm willing to see what authentic dynamic could develop here. Whether it's that or something else. And as long as we continue to communicate and both of us feel that we're okay with it, that makes me feel a lot more comfortable, you know, and yeah, that makes me feel sort of safe and kind of being able to explore and not feeling pressure and all these other things that I think makes it difficult for a person to be authentic, especially when they're showing up on dates, when they're trying to get to know somebody. And so in those situations, which I would personally deem ideal situations, then yeah, I'm probably more likely to go on second dates and thirds or fourths.
That makes sense.
Yeah. See, if you're open to having a podcast guest, you can.
That's right. Yeah. That earned her a date already, right? You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah, I feel like exactly. That. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to start asking every guy that we have on this series this question, which is, what do you do to get ready for a date?
That's a good one.
The blank stare says it all.
Yeah. I'm like, what do
you like listen to Lizzo, pump up?
I take a nap.
Wait, really?
Oh, really?
If I can, because, I want to be energized. Okay. So here's the thing. A lot of the dates happen like in the evenings, right? You're probably do whatever you're doing. It's like either after work or, you know, whatever.
Almost always.
So if it's an evening date, I try to take some nap, whether it's an hour or something like that, sometime in the afternoon, just so I'm like, okay, whatever I've done during the day, I almost like take a nap to kind of just refresh. And then, you know, I can feel kind of, almost like I have
Like a non 9-to-5 though, which makes that
it does. Like I obviously like when I'm fully in the throes of clinicals in school, I usually can't do that, especially if it's on a weekday. I won't be able to.
Yeah.
Do that.
I like just, and you too, Rourke, like I literally would not have time for a nap in between when my last meeting ends and when I need to like,
I also like wake up feeling like I'm on a different planet.
Yeah, naps are not refreshing for me.
I love taking naps. I'm such a nap person.
I'm jealous.
So this is like the ideal date prep, right? The ideal
date prep. This is the dream day. Dream day.
The dream day. Yeah, dream date prep. Saturday date prep is, take a nap at like 4, you know, or whatever, playing like 4 to 5. Get up. If I've showered already that day, then maybe I will, you know, just kind of refresh myself and sort of get ready. If not, then after the nap immediately it's the shower.
Can you explain more about refresh yourself?
Refresh myself is like kind of brush your teeth, like probably wet the hair, especially if you've just taken a nap, and like kind of do your hair. Just kind of general things. Get dressed, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Great. Good call.
Yeah. And then that's pretty much it. To be honest, there's not much other date prep that goes into it. Sometimes in my daily routine, you know, lately I've been doing daily meditation, so I will meditate.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily date prep. That's just
life prep.
So really it's just about nap. And then I just kind of launch into a getting ready thing, which usually takes no more than 30 minutes, even if it's a shower, if there's a shower involved. So that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Do you moisturize your skin daily?
I do.
Oh my God. Good job. Wow, we're 2 for 2 on these men. Yeah. This is wild.
Yeah.
That is another. Yeah. Do you wear SPF daily on your face?
Funny question. He's a little sunburned.
But I do wear SPF.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day that I know I'm going to be outside. If there's a day where somehow I find myself not outside, then, and I know I'm not going to be outside, then maybe I don't. But most of the days I do. Yeah.
Good skincare. Good skincare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had somebody approach you, like hit on you in the wild, that like successfully?
Oh, good question.
And if so, tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, define successfully, but
like did it in number,
did
like
it in, yes, did it yes, in a good yes. way. It did lead to a hangout.
Good, yeah, that's successful.
That's success.
Yeah.
So what did she do?
Well, so first, it was like a couple of my friends. We were out, and it was her and, later, we would come to find her cousin. They were sitting at a table, maybe like 15 feet away from us or something like that. It started with just a lot of eye contact.
Yeah.
It's a good way to start.
Notice the eye contact for sure. Mm-hmm.
That's a Matthew Hussey thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Notice the eye contact, but I was like, you know what? And I had already told myself actually, that night I was like, I'm not going out to take initiative tonight. I'm literally going out to hang out with my friends. I'm just going to let whatever happens. This was like very recently after I had separated from, actually, you know what? No. Yeah. Actually. Okay. Yeah. So this might be, maybe this is not relevant. I was going to say this is right before my ex and I officially separated, but the thing is we were already,
oh boy,
Yeah. So before we had separated, we actually had opened up our relationship. The last 6 months of our relationship, we were actually in an open relationship.
Oh, interesting.
That's not necessarily relevant here. But so anyways, but I was out.
Definitely talking about a different
day. Yeah. I was out with the buddies and I was like, I'm just going to hang out tonight. Not going to try to do anything. Just do my thing. So I'm noticing the eye contact, and maybe in another, on another night, I would have said like, oh, I'll just go talk to her. But I was like, nah, I'm just going to, you know, hang out.
Yeah.
Later on, at some point, I think I go to use the restroom. Mm-hmm. I come back and my friend was like, oh, hey, that girl over there was asking about you. And I was like, oh, which girl? And he was like, oh, they, you know, and I was like, oh, they were looking at us. And she was like, yeah, she was asking about, you know, like, what's your name? Like, is he single? You know, all of these other things. And
did
I was
she,
like, oh, okay.
Can I interject a question?
Yeah, sure.
Do you know, did she come over to the table to ask these questions? Because 15 to 20 feet is like kind of far to be like, hey, you over there, tell me about your friend.
Yeah.
She must have come over.
I think she probably came over, or they moved closer, you know, and sort of the way that we were sitting. Yeah.
Waited for you to not be there.
Well, so by the time that I had gotten back, they were no longer at the table. So they must have maybe moved and or came over, asked, and then went somewhere else. So
I like
that.
I like the like ask and run while we're leaving.
That was the strategy. It was like the ask.
Like, we just signed the check. We're going to like, let me put my number in for this man. And if it doesn't, like, I'm out of the situation if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, maybe they were watching from afar.
Well, so she asked, but, you know, no information, like didn't give my friend any information or anything, just asked the question.
I guess she hated the answers.
Because then my friend was like, you're going to have to ask him.
Yeah.
The question of, are you single? Because he didn't want to go into this whole complicated explanation. Okay, so it is relevant. He didn't want to go into this whole explanation about what was happening between.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, that's not really his place to be like, well.
Exactly.
He's in an open relationship. Let me explain the dynamic.
And honestly, who knows what effect that may have had on her. Maybe it intrigued her more. I don't know. But anyways, they were still there. They were at the bar. They were actually at the bar area. So then my friend's like, yeah, so she was asking about you. You should say something to her. And so maybe it's like 5-10 minutes later, we kind of also had relocated. We were just meandering around. And I see her at the bar. And so I just walk up there and she's like ordering a drink. And then she turns around and she sees me. And I think immediately she kind of knew that my friend told, you know, like what had gone
down. You knew that she knew that you knew.
Exactly. It was all like, everybody knew.
Yeah.
What was happening. So, and I think I just made some comment. She didn't say anything in like immediately when she saw me. I think she just kind of smiled and I like gave it a second. I was like, I'm wondering if she's going to say something to me right now. I'm literally standing behind her as she's getting a drink and she turns around and she sees me. And then I think I just said, something to the effect of like, so I heard you were asking about me, you know? And then that's when I think it prompted her to just kind of launch into this whole thing.
Good.
And then we ended up, we ended up finding out that we were from the same state. Like we both grew up in Iowa and somehow like, it was just rare. Like, it was just like this whole weird thing. So, it ended up being that we didn't really spend that much time together at the bar. I mean, we chatted a little bit, whatever, we exchanged information. And then later on we ended up hanging out. So. Yeah. So I guess it was successful in that regard.
That's always successful.
That's very successful, I would say.
Yeah.
So it is, I'm trying to think though, I don't think that was more of an indirect approach, right? I mean, would you say the way that she did it?
Yeah.
That's also like, I don't know. It's been my experience that more often than not of sort of an indirect approach rather than a direct approach. Like one more example is I used to work in retail management like many years ago. And there were a couple times where customers would actually come in and they would say something to somebody else, like another employee, and ask about me. Or they would like leave their contact information with another employee to give to me rather than just come up to me. So I don't know. I don't know if that's like a thing, but that's definitely happened a lot. Yeah.
I think that kind of goes to something that Rourke and I talked about recently, where often it's tough to tell in that kind of service industry dynamic about whether somebody is into you and you're feeling a vibe, or it's just part of their job to be nice to you as a customer. Like, I waitressed for a long time, and I think that, like, I accidentally – people thought I was into them all the time because I was just, like, being nice as part of my right. job as a waitress.
Right.
And so I think that that is, like, a lower stakes way of being, like, if I'm reading this vibe correctly,
yeah,
they will pass along my information. And if I'm not, then I never have to, like, face the interaction where this guy can be, like, you're just my customer and I'm a nice person. What's wrong mm-hmm. with you?
Well, and in this specific situation, I actually didn't even interact with those customers. They just saw me from
afar. Oh, they just thought you were hot.
Yeah, so, exactly. So hot. Yeah, and then they just like wanted, or whatever they thought. I don't know what they never thought, but they wanted
never,
to.
This has never happened to me in my fucking goddamn life. Okay.
I had just, numbers know, like written on receipts.
Yeah.
So. Never from anybody that I was ever interested in any capacity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
No. Although I would say I have done that myself. I have passed on notes and stuff on receipts and stuff to servers, you know, or hit on bartenders. I mean, who hasn't done that, right?
In high school, I wrote my number on a, I don't know if I ever told this story. I wrote my number on a, like the back of a receipt, I think, and gave it to the bagger at Vons, which is like a supermarket chain in California. Oh, you guys know this. This you live amazing, in California. Yeah. People that are listening, people over here don't know what Vons is.
Got it.
It's in high school. I thought the like bagger was so hot. I would see him all the time. He was like, just gorgeous. And I like gave him my number on the back of a Vons receipt. And then we ended up going to Cold Stone on a date.
That's so pure and
that's
cute.
That's successful. Yeah. Super I don't think successful. Any of these have ever worked. You know what? One time it worked out, but none of these like, you know, in recent years have ever worked out. Nobody's ever like hit me up from like a receipt yeah. number drop.
He's still in my phone as David Vons.
Oh my God. I love it.
That's awesome.
Mr. Vons.
There you go. That's an appropriate nickname.
Yeah. What experiences and or feelings do you need to have for someone before defining the relationship?
I don't know if there's anything specific that I would need to know about them before having that conversation. I think it's more sort of case by case basis, like context based. I think it depends on where I'm at, you know, in my life, where they're at. But ultimately, the thing that would probably trigger that conversation for me on my end is either I am starting to feel that I want things to change, you know, that I want mm-hmm. something more, or I want something to be, I want it to be known that I'm looking for some, for a commitment of some sort, or a confirmation that we are doing something. Right. Or I feel that the other person also, is getting to a point where it seems like that conversation needs to happen to prevent and or confirm, you know, feelings, or prevent like, you know, kind of negative outcomes.
Cause we get a lot of like listener questions that are kind of to the effect of like,
yeah, I'm not helping.
No. I'm trying to give more context. It's fine. That like I brought up exclusivity with this guy and he said, he really likes me and wants to continue seeing with me, but he's just not there yet. Like, what more does he need? Like, he's met my friends. He spends all this time with me. Like, what else? What other information could he possibly need? Or do you think that that's just – it speaks to somebody who, like, isn't ready for that commitment or something like that? I don't know.
I don't know that it's he needs more information from you. I think it's that he needs to know himself more. Mm. Yeah. I think with all of these, it you know, and maybe there's some sort of – wearing a clinical hat here, like bias, but that I think oftentimes it's not so much about the other person as it is about you are just not sure what you want, to be quite honest. And you're not sure, you know, where you're at.
Mm-hmm. That's very difficult sometimes to accept that
and also yeah. to be able to communicate it, because again, sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. So when you're trying to say to someone I don't know, and they're like, well, what don't you know? It's like, I honestly don't know what I don't know. Yeah, I just know that something I'm not, there's a block within me, or there's something, you know, a defense or something is up that I've not addressed or dealt with or haven't moved through, or is not I'm not feeling a certain type of security or attachment or whatever it is that is somehow just preventing me emotionally, mentally from getting to myself to want to go to that next spot. And that may, like, the other person that you're dating may be, you know, for all intents and purposes and on paper, just incredible and like your dream person, you know? So oftentimes I think there's a mismatch because like, well, if they're checking every single box, then like, what's the issue? Yeah. And it's like, well, the issue is psychological. You know, the issue is often not about the other person. It's annoying. And I think, and here's the thing though, I would add to that though, sometimes if it is the other person, you're either able to, that's clear and that's easy to communicate and you can say that to them, or you're too scared to say that, you know, because of course right. you don't want to hurt this other person's feeling. And then, so then you don't say that. And then, so sometimes when it is the other person and you're just not being honest with them, then you might also hear a statement like that where then it's like, well, you know, I like you and I like what we're doing, but I don't know what, you know, so it could be one of those two things. But, I think for me personally, usually it's more the internal experience of myself, you know, rather than like what the other person is or is not providing or has not allowed us to experience.
Yeah. I like what you said about not like, you don't know what you don't know, because I think a lot of people get to that point. Like a lot of the questions that we get are listeners who have gotten to that point to have this DTR conversation with a person who expressed that they were looking for a relationship in theory.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to like early on, right? Like it's a conversation that I have with people on first or maybe second dates of like, you know, is this something that you're looking for in theory? And they say yes. Mm-hmm. And then the listener gets to the DTR conversation and the person is like, oh, I'm actually not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel led on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like the person was lying to them. It's like they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe they were lying to them, but like, let's preclude
yeah.
that.
Yeah. That's definitely happened to me before where I think women have communicated to me that in the past, you know, that they felt that I've led them on. And I was just say from personal experience, there's not a single time where I was trying to lead anyone on. Right. But of course, it may come off that way sometimes. And it may look like on the outside for that to be the case. And I do think that is a lot of sometimes, even as you say something, things are shifting. You know, I mean,
right.
We are as human beings just constantly changing. And I think that's also part of the issue with some of this, where it's like, sometimes you're really just making a choice and you're just committing to the choice. You're not necessarily committing to listening to you're not committing to the fact that you're being present at every moment to every change that's happening in your life. You know, if you were, you might not be able to make any promise. To be real, you know, to be honest,
yeah, I mean, you
might actually not actually be able to make any promise. You could say that, but it wouldn't be truthful, right?
Right.
But
I mean,
nobody
you
wants
can't
to
promise that you're going to feel a certain way tomorrow,
right.
like for sure, definitely.
Right. But nobody wants to hear that. That's not how we've constructed traditional monogamous social relationships to work. And so sometimes if you don't fit that mold, you may feel forced to say something that you don't know that you can actually promise. But you're like, but I do like this person. I want to continue seeing them. And they are asking for some sort of at least verbal agreement. Right. And so I might just have to say it now. You know, and or not, you know, and then if you don't say it, it's like, well, then you were leading me on. It's like, ah. It's tough. It's just a very, again, it's just so complex. I think interpersonal dynamics are really complicated and nuanced. And oftentimes we just don't know how to talk about it with each other. And I think that creates more issues. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great bow on the whole episode to wrap on personally. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. Because, yeah, like on brand.
Super on brand. Well done, Mr. Nobody.
That's great.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. This was a pleasure to do. And honestly, that was such a quick hour. I feel like we could go for another like 3 hours. That was amazing.
Just don't care for what you wish for over there.
Yeah. We'll conscript you.
I mean, I was looking at all of those listener questions and just thinking, man, so many of these people are going to be disappointed that we didn't get to their question. You know,
it's okay. We'll have another 30 something.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's true.
Definitely. Well, thank you again. This was very fun.
It was. Thank you guys very much.
All right. Have a great night. Thanks, all.
Bye.
Hold up. Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.